So in the entire Libeinu series, we have two left. I know that's going to take us to the show of Vimtat, but it's an important topic, so it's going to eventually extend. This is the penultimate one, the second to last one, and the last one is going to be more of a hashkafic understanding of why this topic is so challenging, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is challenging, and how we should view it as a topic in a broad sense. Like what the place of this particular Yetzer Hara is, and how we should view the concept of the Yetzer Hara in a more broader sense. And before we get to that final kind of hashkafic idea behind the whole the Issu, I wanted to just do halacha lemaisa. After we've learned six sessions already on why this topic is so important to speak about, how to prevent it from happening in the first place, techniques of how to stand strong against the Yetzer Hara at a time of challenge, and we've spoken about how one should view themselves after failing and still in a positive light and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves and believes in us. Now we need to learn halacha lemaisa. So I'm gonna quote everything that I'm saying inside. You're welcome to look everything up yourself. And the first source that I wanted to learn together was the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Hey, Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Zayin, writes the following. The Mishnah Berurah there is talking about saying Shema. And he's saying, Shema, are you allowed to say Devar Shebu Kedusha opposite an Erva? So he's speaking there about a married man who's sitting opposite his own wife. And is he allowed to say Shema when his wife isn't fully dressed? And says that there's an opinion that says that even his own wife, and if her thigh is revealed, and even if it's less than a tefach, he's not allowed to say it. And then he takes a tangent and he says, Kol ze lo ayri el le'inyan iso kriya Shema v'iso hu arabe poskim keneged ha'megule afilu belo miskaven listekule. Here we're speaking specifically about Kriya Shema, because there perhaps is an Issur, even if you're not intending to look. Aval inyan davar histaklus, but regarding looking at a woman, v'kuli alma mistakel b'isha afilu b'etzba katana, everyone agrees that even looking at just the little finger of a woman, kevan shemistakel ba lehenot, if a man looks at a woman with the intent to have pleasure, over b'lav delos asura acharei levavachem v'acharei nechem. The Mishnah Berurah makes an important chiluk. He says there's a difference between histaklus and ri'iya ba'alma. This is the language of the Mishnah Berurah. The ri'iya ba'alma lefi tuma v'lo ne'ene shari im lo mitzad ha'musa. So the Mishnah Berurah here, ayin hey zayin, makes an important chiluk. And he writes that there's an issur histaklus and there's no issur ri'iya. That means if a person looks at a woman with the intention of getting pleasure from his looking, it's coming from a place of desire, then it's prohibited, even if he's looking in an area like a hand, where there is no obligation to conceal. A woman does not have to conceal a hand, but he's looking at a hand in order to get pleasure. Then the Gemara quotes harsh things about that. It's a transgression of an Issur d'oraisa, and even if he has Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, he won't be cleansed. That's because he's looking with the intention of getting pleasure. However, regular looking, meaning you go to a store and you're buying something and then you're talking to a woman there while you're buying the thing. How much does this cost? It costs this amount. You don't have to do like this when you're talking to her. Regular looking, there's no prohibition whatsoever. He says, mitzad ha-musa, from a musa perspective, one has to be careful and know themselves. And he quotes the sefer Mincha Shmuel, who says that if a person is an adam chashuv, then it's appropriate for him not to look at a woman, even regular looking. But we're not talking here about on a Musa level, we came to talk about a halachic level now. So on a halachic level, there is no prohibition of looking at a woman when you speak to her, as long as it's not coming from a place of with desire, with a desire to get pleasure from the looking. However, there is a Torah prohibition of istaklus. And the issue that is Losa Surah Achalei Avachem. And this is an important chiluk, because in a different vein, this chiluk is also going to come up regarding touching. There's a famous tshuva of the Igros Moshe regarding going on the subway. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, are you allowed to go on the subway? Because sometimes if you got rush hour, you're going to have to touch a woman. And there the same issue comes up. That if a man touches a woman, it's an Issur d'oraisa. If he does it, derech chiba. It's done in a way of pleasure. However, if he does it not derech chiba, for example, if it's a doctor checking a woman as part of a medical checkup, or even says the Igros Moshe, if you go on a subway and it's squashy and you're forced to touch, even if it's skin against skin, you're forced to touch a woman, then it's not with the desire, it's not with the goal of having pleasure, Rather, it's anus, it's against the person's will. You don't have to hold back from going to work. You can't go just for stam. But if anyone needs to get to work, a person doesn't have to hold back from going. So that's the same chiluk. Regarding looking and regarding touching, they're both prohibited if it's done there for the sake of pleasure. It's a bit different on the other end though. Looking is allowed if there's a need, like you're talking to a woman about how much something costs, if there's some need, you're allowed to look without the goal of having pleasure from it. Touching again is allowed only if one is anus, and he can't touch just for the sake of pleasure, but if the doctor has to do his work, or if it's one is squashed in the subway, then you're allowed to go. So that's the chiluk the Mishnah Berurah makes between histaklus and re'iya ba'alma. The Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, discusses these halachos in two different places. I printed up a lot, like the entire simanim, but what I'm going to quote to you is just selected parts. The first one I'm quoting from is Hilchos Issuri Bia, Perek Kaf Aleph. It's worth, if one wants to invest in this in more detail, then it's worth reading the whole Perek of the Rambam. Perek Kaf Aleph is Hilchos Issuri Bia. So he writes, anyone who comes upon an erva, or he's chibek or nishek, so hugging and kissing, derech tava v'nehene v'kiruv basar. So again, it's the same chiluk that we just saw in the Mishnah Berurah. A person who touches, hugs and kisses in a way of getting pleasure, that's his goal, then it's an Issa D'oraisa, and he brings the psukim which we learn it from. And we suspect such a person of even doing more things than just that. He could, now those things, I think it's pretty safe to say that it's out of the realm of many people who are sitting here. However, the next thing, there, it gets even less severe, meaning less out of our realm. He said it's forbidden, this is the language of the Rambam, Asur la'adam likrotz bi'adav o v'raglav o lirmoz be'enav la'achad min arayas o l'schokima o l'hakel rosh. So here, this is already an area which we may come into a dangerous area. Meaning it's forbidden to wink at a woman, it's forbidden to signal to a woman in a way which is derech tzchok or derech kalus rosh. Now this goes into an area where you have a boy and a girl who are friends are not allowed to play games together. Because any act which could lead to intimacy, which is not a technical act, but it's an act where the goal of the act is kalos rosh, the goal of the act is having fun together, is prohibited. It's kalos rosh and schok. So if a person goes and he says to a woman, how do I get to a certain place, and does it in the, without elaborating on words, just so he can spend more time enjoying the company of talking to her, there's nothing wrong with that. If a person says, I need your help, where in the shop is such a thing found, and she works in the shop, there's nothing wrong with that. But for him to say, let's play a game together, where the whole goal of the playing the game is intimate, not intimacy in the sense of like having relations, but it's intimacy, it's let's have fun together. I want to be close with you and have fun in a way that we're having fun together. Intimacy. So that's considered kalos rosh. I'm not talking here about a couple who are about to get engaged. Now we're talking here about a couple of just I'm a boy and a girl want to have fun together. So according to the Rambam, that comes under the category of lischokima or kalos rosh. Afilu la'arech besamim sha'alea or la'habit b'yofya asur. Smelling her scent, if she has perfume on, like obviously if she walked past you and you smelled it, there's no transgression from doing that. But if a person like enjoys the smell and he likes the smell and he wants to smell it intentionally, and that's a prohibition of smelling the scent of a woman. This goes back to what the Mishnah Berurah was saying earlier, that if a person looks at her with the goal of enjoying how pretty she is, how beautiful she is, that's also a transgression of his tuklus. According to the Rambam, if you play a game with a girl, anything which is, the goal is kalos rosh. The goal is just having fun together. Makos mardos. According to the Rambam, that a person will get beaten, not d'oraisa. It's only d'rabbanon. Histaklus will be d'oraisa. But if it's with the goal of having pleasure. But playing games again, that's already an area which is not so out of our realm. Like I'm sure people here, either themselves or friends of theirs in their class, when they were in high school, they had friends who were not male. And it's not unlikely that they would do like a game on the computer or a game in texting or some sort of like, with the whole goal of the interaction was just to have fun together and just to create more of a bond, which could lead to more severe things. That would be Makos Mardos according to Rambam. That's something which is very severe, and a person has to be aware that you're allowed to look at a woman for the purpose of getting married. You're allowed to stam look at a woman just for the purpose of talking without the histaklus. That's just like, that's not considered looking, it's riya ba'alma. But histaklus is allowed if you want to get married to her. Not only is it allowed, but it's encouraged. think the Gemara in Kedushin says that you should look at her in a way of estaklus once. Once, doesn't say more than once. Right? Once. You have to look at her to see that she's someone who you feel that you could love and you could develop a relationship with. That's where estaklus is allowed. After that, in theory, it's she's the same as any other woman. Once you decide to get engaged to a girl, then in theory, she's no different to every other woman until you get married. So there you keep up the relationship. And there you are allowed to like form more of a bond, because there's a concept that you're eventually going to get married to her and you're going to be able to express the relationship in that way. But still there, Kalos Rosh is not allowed in a too intimate way. One geder, which I think is a very appropriate geder, is in the same way that you would talk to your friend's mother, that's a way you can talk to a girl who's a friend. Meaning, you wouldn't do Kalos Rosh with your friend's mother. There may be an occasional one that you would, but generally, someone who's like of a different generation, who you see outside of shul, and you say, "Oh, Mrs. Cohen, how are you? Good Shabbos." Like you'd be respectful, you'd be polite, you'd look at her in the face, right? You would be normal, interacting in a very normal way, but it wouldn't go to, "Do you want to hang out with me on the?" You wouldn't like, "Do you want to play this game together?" You wouldn't go, "Oh, that's a really nice." You wouldn't say any of those statements because it would be inappropriate. Right? So any like woman from your community, a random woman from your community, the way that you would relate to her, your family, friends, the way you relate to her is appropriate also to relate to someone who's of your age. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just considered normal interaction. That's just being polite. But anything which is beyond that, which is what you would only speak about with close friends, and you would like invite them to play something or like make a comment on it, then that would be out of the realm of, that would enter Kalos Rosh. But the Varim ha'elu asurim b'chiyuvei lavin. Rambam's harsh on these matters. In order to get married to her, we just said that. There's no Isser. In fact, not even on Isser, Ela Ra'ui La Sotken. The Rambam encourages looking. He says, even there, it shouldn't be Derech Znus. I mean, a person can identify within himself if it's coming from a place of the desire to get married or just for kind of having fun. I remember when I was in Shana Gimel, I said to Rabbi Stav, I was offered a Shidduch. What should I do? So I was like taking advice from my Rebbe. What should I go on the Shidduch? Should I go on the Shidduch? What's Shana Gimel? He said to me, Ata mitkaven litchaten? Or ata mitkaven letzachek? Are you planning to get married, or are you planning just to have fun? I said, no, I'm planning to get married. Like, if I'm going out with her, I'm going to get married to her. It's amazing. As telech, aval tichaven lo letzachek. Go, but don't play around. I went, I got married, Baruch Hashem, till this day, the first person I met, and I got married. That was allowed, right? You're going to play, you're going to pray. That's not allowed. You're going to get married, that's fine, that's totally allowed. Okay. This is an interesting halacha, which seems like it's not so kept today, but it's in the Mishnah, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Rambam as well. Asur lishtamesh b'isha klal. A man is not allowed to have a woman serve him in any way. Now, the three examples that the Rambam brings, based on the Gemara, two of them I think are like very unlikely and probably would never happen, but the third one is very common. So, what are the three ways that the Rambam gives as an example of what you're not allowed to have a woman serve you in any way? So one is washing your hands and face and feet. Okay, so I don't think that's a common thing that anyone here would have a woman wash their hands, face, or feet. The second one is making your bed. That's also not a common thing that such a thing would happen. But the third one is preparing you a drink. That's very, very common. A person has a secretary. He has a secretary and she comes and brings a drink. That's a normal thing. Like he would say to the wife, can you have a drink? So the poskim write that if it's derech hachanasas orchim, it's allowed. If it's, you've invited guests over and the wife makes a drink. When it comes to a secretary, lechora it's allowed. Because the role is not a role of intimacy. I mean, the whole principle behind why this is forbidden is it's an act of intimacy which one wouldn't normally do. If it's a secretary making a drink for the boss or for the other people who have come, then it's not a derech, it's not a way of intimacy. Like we spoke about at the beginning, it's not derech chiba, it's not derech istaklus, it's a normal thing. However, I'm adding, things have happened in this area that one needs to be careful. Meaning, even if it's true that it's allowed technically, because all that's happening really here is she's just doing her job. However, the role of a boss and a secretary can lead to inappropriate areas. And therefore, even in the area of making a drink, some people say a chumrah, that she should make it for him, but she should be very careful in the way she gives it to him, not to say, there you go. Like, no words of closeness should be said at all. One should be very careful to remain extremely formal in the matter, to ensure that it's staying very far away from anything intimate. So although halachically it is allowed, because it's done not in a way of intimacy, it's done in a way of, this is my job, nevertheless, one has to be very careful to ensure that it remains that. Some people I know are careful not to call the secretary by her first name. They call her Mrs. whatever her name is, in order to ensure that will remain, that they'll remain distance. They will remain a distance because they're on interaction on a daily basis. And this is not just the secretary, also like if there's a co-workers. There's a co-worker of a man and co-worker of a woman, and they work together. So a man who wishes to ensure that he's in that difficult situation of maybe interacting with her more than he interacts with his wife, he has to ensure that there's a distance. It's not forbidden. One is allowed to work with a co-worker who's a female, but one has to be extra cautious to put up his own boundaries to ensure that that won't lead to something inappropriate. Okay, a different topic that I want to discuss, maybe we'll come back to that. Regarding the topic of protecting oneself from not coming to zera levatala, asur la'adam sheikshe atzmo ledat, or sheyavi atzmo ledehirhu. A person is not allowed to masturbate or to do anything which could lead him to even have thoughts of doing that. And if one does, then the solution is to think thoughts of Torah, because when one thinks thoughts of Torah, one is able to have a holy thread to attach themselves to that pulls them out of that area. Says the Rambam, in light of that, lefikach, it's forbidden for a person to sleep al orpo or panav lamala. Person can't sleep on his back with his stomach up, and the other way around either. If a person according to halacha, a man should sleep on his side. Because if a person sleeps face down or face upwards, it could cause to stimulation, that could cause to zera levatala. That's halacha number one, in this area. Halacha number two, a man is not allowed to look at animals mating, because that could lead to hirhu. That could cause him to think of that act, and that could cause him to think of those inappropriate things. The one exception to that, obviously, is if someone works in that area. If someone is a doctor or is a farmer and he works in that area particularly, then he's involved in his own work, he doesn't come to think of those areas. But if someone sees it in a street or something, it's forbidden for work. Obviously, a person is not allowed to look at women when they're doing anything where they would bend over, like they're doing their washing. And we mentioned this already in Musa Say the last week. He's also not allowed to look at clothing that he knows belongs to a particular woman. That would cause him. So, like, if you have a neighbor, right, this is very, very common in Israel, right? You have a neighbor and everyone hangs their washing up outside their window, right? And you just see from your window, you see the neighbor's washing, and you know who lives there, you know the woman who lives there. It's forbidden for a man to look at the clothing of a woman who he recognizes and knows that woman. It's forbidden for a man to touch himself in that area unnecessarily. Once a person is married, there's less of a concern because he can have relations with his wife, so there he's allowed to touch himself in a normal way when going to the bathroom. When someone's not yet married, he's only allowed to touch the tip, but not the whole area, in order to ensure there's minimal amount of touching taking place. Another halacha, going back to the topic of relating to a woman. You're not allowed to be shoel shalom isha. A person's not allowed to say to a woman, how are you? How are you? You can't say to a woman, how are you? Now, if a woman was known to be sick, and you're asking, how are you? Right, it's a different how are you, right? There's a how are you, I know you weren't well, I'm asking how you are, as opposed to how are you, it's taking an interest. Now this, I'm adding, and I'm very happy to renege on this, if I see postmen say other things. I personally think it depends on the society. Where the how are you is something which is said to someone in a way, which is only if you're close to them do you say that, then it's inappropriate. Because the whole goal here is that it leads to tie the thoughts. So if it would be very normal in the society, absolutely normal, that we say to someone, hello, how are you doing? But there's no sense of intimacy in that at all. Like, people don't even answer the question. Have you noticed that? They say, hi, how are you doing? And they don't even answer. I'm fine, how are you? They just say, yeah, good, and they carry on talking. I mean, there's no sense of I'm taking a real interest in how you are. So there, I don't think that I personally think, I haven't seen this in the post. The post can say it to a bit. I'm adding my humble opinion that I think that if you, it's clear to you and to them and the environment, there is no sense of intimacy whatsoever in the way you're saying it. Like, for example, the word shalom in Hebrew, right, is the normal way that you just say shalom to someone. So it's asur lishol b'shalom isha. You're not allowed to say to a woman, mashlomech. That's the phrase that's forbidden. Mashlomech is forbidden to say. People who are careful about this, they'll say mashlomchem. Because when you say it in plural, which means not just them, but their family, then it's allowed. And that's what's much more common. Like here in Karen Biavnen, if a man would say to a woman, he would say to him, Mashlomchem, in plural. Meaning, how are your family doing? That's definitely allowed. But to say Mashlomech is forbidden. Now, if you're working in an Israeli business, right, and Mashlomech is the standard greeting which expresses no intimacy whatsoever, just the very standard. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's not allowed. I'm debating whether it should be forbidden. Because where it's clear that no one intends that at all. Anyway, you can say it in a way which you avoid that. You can say, good morning. Good morning is not asking in her shalom. That definitely is allowed according to all the poskim. Boker tov is allowed. But to take an interest in her and how she's doing, I'm asking about you, how are you? I'm interested in you, I want to hear more about you. That is forbidden. That's lishol b'shalom isha. Okay. We don't have time for it, but there's the whole section obviously on Yichud. That's in the Hilchos Isur Bia Kafbet, the next perek. Obviously, a very important topic. That's a geder around the halacha to ensure that a person doesn't come. That's a whole other shir. I mean, to learn all the laws of Yichud is an entire shir. But the halachas of Yichud are there to ensure that a person puts a geder around himself he won't even come close to, and there's a lot of details within the laws of Yichud. I want to just move on. There's a tzidkas tzadik, which I appreciate very much, and I want to quote it. He says, Rav Tzadok, of course, he says that nowhere in Torah do you find the Isra of Hatzad Zerah Levatara written explicitly. It's only mentioned that the reason why Dor HaMabul were punished was because of it, and Aaron or Nun were known they were punished because of it, but there isn't an actual Isra that it says, thou shalt not do it explicitly. And he asks, why is it like that? And he says, Ki lo haya efshar lichtov ha-Isra b'feirush, Hashem didn't want to write it explicitly. Mechash Hashem Yisbarach Yisad b'teva ha'olam, she'ered devar ze gam kein ba'onis. Since Hashem made it that it does happen ba'onis, it happens against the person's will. A person has a seminal emission at night, it happens against his will. V'yet tzaka gadola, al ma'asa Hashem kachalam lach shileinu. If it would be written explicitly that one is not allowed to have semen come out, and then it happens to people all the time, in an honest way, but it still happens, then people would be very upset and very nervous and very agitated about it, and therefore the Torah didn't want to write it in an explicit way. What do you do if it happens? Lamaisa, what do you do? So, if it happens without a dream, it's just the person wakes up, there was no dream, maybe they overate, maybe whatever what the reason was that it happened, there is no issue whatsoever. They don't have to do tshuva for that in any way. All they have to do is just to wash themselves off because the person is not allowed to daven or learn Torah with semen on them. So halacha lamaisa, if there was no dream involved. If there was a dream involved, then that's a sign that it came through thoughts. It's not the person's fault necessarily. It could be that it was things that he saw when he was much younger, or it could be that he saw something ba'anus, but it did come through some sort of arousal. As I'm quoting the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, this is Shulchan Aruch Kuf Nun Aleph. Mi she'ra'a chas v'shalom keri belayla, if a person saw a seminal mission at night, k'shei ne'or mishato, when he wakes up, yitol yadav, he should wash his hands, and then he says a tefillah you can say. This is a tefillah written in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Ribono shel olam, asiti zot shelo bekavana, rak hirhurim ra'im u'machshavot ra'ot, lechen yehi rotzon lefanecha Hashem Elokai v'Elokei Avotai, machak berachamecha rabim avon ze, tatzileinu mihurim ra'im, v'kayotze behem le'olam ve'ed, amen ken yerotzon. So a person has it, a seminal mission with a dream, then he washes his hands, he also washes off any part of his body that became stained from the semen, and he says a prayer, Hashem, I didn't do this with my intention, I had bad thoughts, please Hashem, help me in the future that I will be safe from having bad thoughts. And then he goes on to say that a person should learn extra Torah that day. In order as a tikkun to increase Kedusha, a person should learn extra Torah that day. One last quote I wanted to quote from the Mishnah Berurah, and this is the case, I actually got a phone call from a boy the next morning, and it was a very hard phone call. He was an Avrech already at this point, someone who learned here, and then he went on and he was an Avrech, and he had a seminal mission on the night of Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch speaks harshly against such a thing that happens. So I learned with him this Mishnah Berurah together. So the Shulchan Aruch says Yidag Kol Hashana. He should be worried the whole year. If on the night of Yom Kippur happens, that person has a similar mission, he should be worried about it the whole year, meaning his life is on the line the whole year. So the Mishnah Berurah writes the following: he should be worried that maybe his tshuva wasn't accepted, and Hashem is showing him that Hashem doesn't want him. Very harsh language. The Mishnah Berurah then adds to that: look at the Achronim who say. Which I thought was really funny. Because who didn't have a lot to eat on Erev Kippur? Meaning everyone ate a lot on Erev Kippur. So you could definitely attribute the fact that a person had a seminal emission to the fact that he ate a lot on Erev Kippur. Or it could be that it came from Hirhor. Aval kushyodeya shebar mechmad Hirhor v'kadome after gadol avono. So we're talking here about a person who knows that he thought inappropriate thoughts. And he had a seminal emission at night. It's a terrible sin. Mikol makom, ainu b'sofek mitu. You don't have to worry about that affects your life. Ki hu b'atzmo garam lo. He knows that the reason why it happened was because he thought a bad thought. V'chein im alta lo shana, ainu muftach l'shubun haba, eitem b'sfam de ikara tikon namich shnichshal. So what do you do? There's the Mishnah Berurah giving guidance on what to do if a person had a wet dream with thoughts. Shitchazek mikan v'lahaba, v'yemei chayav b'limu toru. Take on extra. He says, I'm saying that it won't be overwhelming the next day. That following day, after washing himself, and maybe saying the tefillah that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch said, that day he should learn something extra. If he would normally learn during the break, he wouldn't learn during the break, Learn in the break. If you normally learn in the break, learn an extra 5 minutes in the break. If you learn it for a certain time, take something extra of learning Torah to show that you wish to align yourself with Kedusha. As it says in the Midrash Tanchuma, Im chata adam, ma yaseh v'yichyeh, im lamud l'shnot perk echad, yishne shnei prakim, im lamud l'shnot daf echad, yishne shtei dapim, add on extra learning. V'ikar limud haTorah yeh al manat l'kayem, alomed, ve'inu makayem noach lo shelo livra. And obviously, anything that you learn, you should take on to practice it. So those were a few of the practical halachas that come out on a down-to-earth level. If anyone wants to see more, then either learn those simanim inside. You can also look on the Tarei Libeinu on the Tzfaria website. One more halacha that I just wanted to mention is that you're not allowed to walk behind a woman. And therefore, if you're ever walking in the street and you find yourself within Dalat Amas behind a woman, then you have to overtake her. You just walk a little faster at that moment because you're not allowed to continuously walk behind her. Now, when you walk on the streets nowadays, you're always walking behind a woman at some point. But if you're walking continuously, like it's a long road and you're walking behind her, you're not allowed to continuously walk behind a woman within Dalat Amas. You just overtake her at that place. Okay, so those are some of the basic halachas. There are many more, but hopefully we covered the basic ones. Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll do the summary and kind of vision for the topic of Shmiras HaBrit, Shmiras HaNai.